Tim Kelly officially requests a trade to West Coast, and Essendon is facing a 2020 season without Orazio Fantasia or Joe Danaher. It's go time for 18 clubs. Welcome to Trading Day. And welcome to David King, Lee Montagna and John Ralph. The news of the day with you first, Ralphie.
So Tim Kelly officially requested that trade this morning. He does not want to go to Fremantle. He will get to West Coast eventually for something like 2 first-round picks. We'll talk about that later. Orazio Fantasia almost certain to get to Port Adelaide. He will request the trade from Essendon. He is on a heavily front-ended deal right now. And Brandon Ellis, by Friday, he will be a Gold Coast player on a $3 million deal. And Richmond, they might get a pick that's about 20. We'll explain that one as well. Well,
Brandon Ellis was the worst kept secret. We knew that was happening, but didn't Tim Kelly and Orazio Fantasia both deny that they were going to leave at some point? Yet here they are, first day of trade window, saying they're off.
Absolutely. He denied it straight away, and yet West Coast have known about this for some time, and Geelong, to be honest, have probably known about it as well. And I would have thought they would have got past the Geelong best and fairest, but that's not going to happen. Can I explain to you how West Coast can get 2 first-rounders for Tim Kelly?
Yeah, sure.
So, their picks right now are 14, 24, 33. I know the point system's really complicated, but basically they can trade 24 and 33 for pick 11. So, in an era where 2 first-rounders go back or go to a club and a second-rounder comes back, for all of the Jake Leavers of the world, Bryce Gibbs, they could give up 14 and 11 for Tim Kelly. Is that about right?
Well, Boyle reports, and Joe, you're probably better schooled on this than myself, but between picks 6 and 35, very minimal gaps, not like last year where they were heavily stacked for the first 12 to 15 players. So Boyle reports as many picks you can have in that sort of bracket, the better. I don't think it matters drastically what number, but what were West Coast prepared to give up? What numbers were they prepared to give at the start of this negotiation?
Well, last year they would have given up 20, 23 in a trade of second or third rounders. Having spoken to people close to their camp today, they're aware that Geelong is going to ask for the world and they're probably going to have to give it. What they're not prepared to give up are quality contracted players. Andrew Gaff's the one that's been speculated upon. Of course, he's got an exit clause in his contract next year. Jared Brander or Oscar Allen. They're like, that's not what happens these days. You don't trade players who want to stay at your club in contract. Now, why has Tim Kelly got some leverage? Here's his manager, Anthony van der Veulen, today. I spoke to him and he says, this is not a decision Tim has taken lightly. I know he's forever grateful to the opportunity for Geelong Football Club. And here's the kicker. Tim and his partner, Caitlin, and their young family are dealing with some significant challenges with two of their three kids being classified as autistic. They need to get back home. They need to get back with their grandparents so they can give those two kids 4 or 5 hours of daily therapy. So I know Geelong are going to play hardball, but just as Jack Stephen requests a trade to Geelong and will get there, I think it's fair of him to request a trade to West Coast and not the Fremantle Football Club. You're allowed to pick your target these days.
I don't think it's a huge loss for West Coast, those picks. Three picks for Tim Kelly, who we saw Brownlow medal contender, a team that's already challenging at the top of the ladder. I think it's a great get. The question is whether Chris Scott will be happy to give away his arguably best player to one of his competitors next year. If he's trying to win a flag while he's still got these players, he's going to give away one of his strongest players to the opposition who are contending for a flag. They're one of their best players. It's a big call.
What goes around comes around, though. Dangerfield was the same coming to Geelong. Originally picked 24. It's a great 24 months. Two years only.
24 Brownlow votes, second in the MVP this year.
So great investment and a great return on that investment. Sure, they'd love to keep him. Do you think, I'll just ask you from a coaching point of view, do you think that the delayed decision on Longmuir had any impact in meeting Kelly or in the decision, which we all believe was 50-50 at one stage?
I don't think so. I think he spoke to both of the senior coaches over the off-season. And look, people have said, why not Fremantle? They had 12 months to get their house in order. They lost their CEO, they lost their coach, they lost two of their best midfielders. And I think the point of view is, if you're at West Coast, you set yourself up for the future. So his manager, Anthony van der Veulen, he's got people like Andrew Embley. He's on AFL Tonight every Friday night. He's got players like Anthony Grover. Anthony Grover's not making 30 grand from sporties during grand final week. You know, you don't hear from him. So you get to the club that is the powerhouse, you win a premiership, like Dustin Martin, you become a symbol of success for the next 30 years at that club.
Is there any chance this West Coast deal could fall over and Freo get back in the market, though?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, the West Coast have got pick 63. They've got a future first rounder, which might be about 15. So I think at some stage they think to themselves, we've got one day we've got a centre square bounce situation where Nick Natanui taps the ball to either Shuey on one side or this bloke on the other side. I think they realise, whatever the price, it's absolutely worth it. He's only just 25. He's got 7 amazing years for him.
There's nothing in this draft that's between 11 and 35. let's be honest.
Tim Kelly,
there's nothing like this.
So maybe you take the three picks.
If it costs you two picks, costs you three picks, it doesn't really matter. I mean, this guy's going to come in. We've seen his durability already, which is something that I think is often understated. He just plays every week. He can play high half forward, as he did in the final series, 34 and three goals, I think, in their last final. So... He's just quality. That's, you just get him. You just pay whatever you have
to. That's what I think. For West Coast, those three picks, I don't think it'll bother them at all. They're getting an absolute bona fide star. And as you said, they can use picks down 50, 60, 70 to take a couple of kids, but they're going to be right in that premiership window again.
Joe Danaher, he's probably the big fish alongside Tim Kelly this trade period. This is bubbling along at a really interesting rate after Anthony Danaher spoke a couple of days ago, and then we've heard from Tim Watson this morning on SEN. How's this going to play out?
I think in the next couple of days, he's just going to have to say to this football club, because they want an answer. You know, they're going to come to him and say, what do you want to do? And I think what he will say is, I'm prepared to stay at Essendon if you truly can't get a deal done for me, but I absolutely would like to get to this football club. I mean, you've spoken to people close to him and you're adamant that he wants to get to Sydney.
Yeah, my understanding is absolutely he wants to get to Sydney, but I'm not sure if he's in a position to request a trade yet if he doesn't think he can get to Sydney. He doesn't want to be seen as someone that I want out, but I've got to play at the Bombers next year. It's a delicate PR battle, Joey.
And that's the key. There are a lot of players that, that he wants to go to Sydney, but he's also happy to play at Essendon if it doesn't pan out. So you don't necessarily want to come out, put your hand up and say, I want out of the Bombers, just in case it doesn't get done. He is still a favourite son of that football club. We know about the family history, so it gets a bit awkward. So I think that's why he's probably staying silent. I think he's right. He would like to get to Sydney. That would be ideal for him, but he's also happy if he ends up staying at Essendon. So you just got to be careful to be what you say, Kingy, to the football world, if you then end up back at the footy club next year at Essendon with a bit of egg on your face.
I'll get to it later on a bit stronger, but it's not necessarily what he says, it's what he does to me. I mean, is he going to everything this week that he should be going to? Is he saying the right things to his teammates behind the scenes? Not necessarily what he's saying to the club. I just think this is really ugly now. I mean, he's only played 11 games in 2 years. Yeah, it's a long time to without seeing him at his absolute best.
And he's 26. Yeah, he's not young anymore. Yeah. He'll be 26 to start next year.
Is he kidding himself to think that he can get out of the football bubble? I mean, Buddy Franklin got there in his first year, and yes, he performed. But he had paparazzi, there were crashed cars. You know, this is a bloke who lives a very quiet life.
But I think that's a convenient storyline that's actually not the primary reason for him wanting to get out. I think we spoke about it before, and it's been on foxfooty.com.au. This is about the medical staff at Essendon. I'm absolutely resolute on that. He's not happy that he hasn't been able to play consistent footy. And Matthew Lloyd's been on the record as well talking about the fact he's had so many coaches in a short space of time. This is about much more than him wanting to live outside of Melbourne. This is a football decision, in my opinion.
And some people would say he's only worth pick 10, as I've heard today. This is a bloke who tore Anzac Day apart. Four contested marks, four goals, 16 possessions. And so if he does leave, I think he's still worth every bit of those two first rounders.
I've never seen an unhappy footballer play great football. If they're not happy, you get nothing out of them. So, you know, you can argue both ways and where he should play and what he should do. In the end, he needs to make up his mind and just say, this is it. This is the direction I'm going.
Tommy, should he just wait for a year? So if it is two first rounders, Essendon will be filthy with him. Sydney will need him to perform. He's a free agent next year. Yeah. One more year, you see if your groins come good. And if they don't, you've got every reason to say 3.5 years with my groins and I leave as a free agent. I can go to any one of 17
But if his groins are no good next year, and Joe, you know this as well, if his groins are no good next year, he might not get a long-term deal at the Sydney Swans. So his value is actually maximised right now rather than next year if things don't go to plan.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, how much you're paying. Because you're right, as we said, 26 at the start of next season, 2 years with bad groins. How much footy does he have left? Now, these key forwards, Kingy, I mean, not everyone's like a Buddy Franklin that still peaks at 32 years of age. And we're even seeing Buddy now start to struggle, who was so durable for so long.
He's nowhere near Buddy.
Exactly right.
Let's not compare this deal with the Buddy deal. Buddy was flying when he went to Sydney. Yep. He couldn't have been playing better footy.
But if you go up there as the superstar, you know, $1 million forward.
So what's he worth?
Yeah.
But this is totally different. Let's not compare the two.
Answer the question. What's he worth, do you think?
What's he worth? Yeah. Well, I think he's worth a first round and a second round pick, whether that's this year or
next. And are you giving him a 5-year deal?
You just got to get the deal done.
I mean, so that's what you have to do to get
him. You can't tell him you love him. Oh, hang on, here's a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you either invest in him and say you're our answer or you're not. Now, I'm sure that if Sydney are going to this length, as we say or think they are, then they're giving him a 4 or 5 year deal. How can you say we're going to sign you till you're 28?
So that's why pick 15 for him isn't enough.
No,
you go chips in the table. You got to give up two first rounders.
Pick 5 and 25.
All right, Kingy,
we'll get it done.
It's time for your call. In fact, it's time for King's call.
spend a fortune there, Tommy, on the graphics. Yeah, thanks for that. Well, mine relates to Fantasia and Danaher, and it's Essendon. It's time to cut the cord. You can't muck around with this anymore. It's time to clear them out. If they're not happy and they're talking about leaving, go. Just go. I mean, we're not going to sit here and talk about medical department, all this nonsense. Just deliver. I mean, if they want to leave, if Orazio Fantasia wants to go to Port, let him go. It's been a graveyard for traded players over the last five seasons.
But what sort of precedent does that set, Kingy?
Well, they're not happy. If they're not happy there, we've got to build... we've seen what's happened at Richmond.
Yep.
You've got to build a workplace people want to come to. If these two don't want to come, or it's not for them, or the grass is greener somewhere else, get the best deal you can and move them on. You probably get a second rounder for Orazio Fantasia. You probably get a first and a second rounder from Sydney for Joey this year. That gives you three selections into your footy club. And if it were me, and this is the kicker, I wouldn't be waiting on a Jeremy Cameron type. I mean, there's not many Jeremy Camerons around, but he's a free agent end of next year. If you coupled those picks together, Essendon's pick 31 and 37 this year.
Yep.
The picks from Sydney, 5 and 25, and maybe, say, second round for
whatever. I reckon better than that for Fantasia. I reckon he's nearly first round pick Fantasia. Yeah, I rate him real highly.
So
10's probably maybe a bit too high for
Fantasia.
He's
in between 10 and 29.
Just for the sake of the exercise, leave it at 29. Yep. But I like where you're going. Yep. I like how we work on this. And you threw in Essendon's first round next year. So Essendon give up their two picks in the 30s this year, a first round of next year, and those other three picks, 5, 25 and 29 from Sydney and Port Adelaide, and say, GWS, here's the mega deal. We want Cameron now. At least give them an offer that makes them think, hang on, this is six picks. These are good picks. Do we? And I know they don't want picks, and I know they don't want to lose Jeremy Cameron. They've just signed Steve Canelio. They're not talking about players leaving. But put something in front of them that makes them think, hang on, can we afford to go full length on Jeremy Cameron and be disappointed and get one pick? Or maybe two.
Because I agree with you. You can't move those two players on. And if they don't want to be there, you've got to move them on. You can't move them on and not replace them. This is a team that didn't finish top four, limped into an elimination final, lost by 55 points. Well, they're still 12 goals off the best sides. They need to replace these players if they are to leave.
Well, I think Kingy's point's interesting. Where Essendon are at as a footy club, are they a team that think they're in a premiership window in the next 3 or 4 years? Or do they go to the draft and start again? Because some people at Essendon believe while Hooker and Hurley are there, this was their opportunity. Once they're gone, they might have to go back to the draft and actually rebuild themselves, because they're in no man's land at the moment, and that's the greatest concern of a footy club when you don't know exactly where you're at.
Well, this is a great starting point. I think Essendon are in a great position. I really do. I mean, I would cut the cord, be done with all this. Joe Danaher not telling people what he wants to do, all this carry-on, not going to commitments during the week, the club saying, well, you need to give us an answer. And just go to him and say, listen, let's not bother. Let's not waste each other's time.
They have to.
Have the courage as a footy club to say we're better than this.
And you sell high, don't you? If, as you say there, they're worried about their long-term deal, you sell high, you get multiple picks. Because if you're Ben Rutten, you're thinking, I don't want to have to inherit these two blokes leaving next November. Yeah. We might as well do it now and get 12 months of development into the next blokes.
This draft is far... Next year's draft, by all reports, is a pretty poor draft.
Yep.
So this is the draft we need to get your picks.
All right, Josh Bruce, you're a former St Kilda player. Yeah. He's at St Kilda as well. You're a former teammate of yours. He wants to go to the Western Bulldogs, a four-year deal. How can they get this contract done?
Well, I think it's a win-win, first of all, because St Kilda have only got pick 6 and pick 56 in the draft, and they want to get the likes of Brad Hill, Zach Jones, they're going to get Paddy Ryder into the football club.
Sam Gray.
Sam Gray as well, who I rate highly also. So they need to get some picks in the 20s and 30s. So, unfortunately, to do that, you're going to have to get rid of someone with some currency. Now, the Western Bulldogs, desperate for some key position players. They love Josh Bruce, got a connection with Amik Baines, who was at St Kilda. I think it's a win-win. So I think the Bulldogs have obviously got money in the cap. They'll give Brucey 4 years, which is some job security. Because you've got to remember, Brucey, you know, started as a defender, GWS, came to St Kilda, kicked 50 goals in 2015. But now all of a sudden he feels Max King, the big superstar, breathing down his neck. The Saints are going to play Rowan Marshall more forward because of the Paddy Ryder connection. So Brucey's got to also understand where his football's at.
What's he cost? He's
going to make a decision.
What's he cost? What's he get?
Oh, I think he's a pick in the 20s or 30s. Yeah, okay. Second round pick.
So Brett Ratten said on an SEN this morning, he's a contracted player and he hasn't come to us and said, I'm out. My understanding is he's absolutely gone to the Saints and said he's out.
Total gibberish. Yeah. Max King, though, it was.
It's called posturing.
Fine. That's what you do. But Max King, we were told all year, he's not the great white hope. Let's hold him back, hold him back. All of a sudden now, you have to throw him in round one. That's my worry, my only worry with this deal.
Why are you worried about that? Why would you possibly be worried about playing an elite pick from round one next year?
Because they said he wasn't ready. And Dermot Burton said he wasn't ready. And they, you know, and maybe that just means that Rowan Marshall plays a little bit more forward, or maybe it's Paddy Ryder. But
Paddy Ryder,
you know, this is a side that has to play finals with all of the development that St Kilda's got. And now you're saying, Max King, we want 50 contested marks or 30 goals out of him?
Who says they have to play finals? I mean, let's just get the list right and with a view to the future. If it happens next year, great. If it takes another 12 months, I don't think they're panicking at St Kilda. And Josh Bruce is not going to be the difference between them winning a flag or not. And if it costs them another two players, so be it. Yep. But this guy's always at the scoreboard. You touched on the 50 goals. You've got, you know, there's 36 and a 38 and a 36 again this year. So over the last 5 years, there's been four good returns.
Yeah, he's a very good, real competitive. He's got a great endurance tank, really likeable sort of player at the club. And he'll just compliment whether Norton stays forward or goes back to centre-half back. I know you think he should play centre-half back.
Love him.
Shacky there floating around as that third tall, which would probably suit him best. I think it's a great situation for the Bulldogs.
And for all those people wondering whether Josh Bruce is wanting to get out of a club that wants him, I think the Saints are relatively pleased to move him on and just hoping the other players...
I don't think he was really desperate to leave St Kilda. I just think the way the cards are falling with an offer he got from the Bulldogs and just what he was hearing at St Kilda for his long-term future, it's a no-brainer.
So night one, you've called Ahmed Baines a liar? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, I said that it was gibberish from the St Kilda coach, Brett Ratten.
Brett Ratten.
I
said gibberish.
Oh, mate, he's already at the door. He's already nudging it.
All right, Ralphie, it's time for your scoop of the day.
One.
Righto, scoop of the day. So, Orazio Fantasia. Look at that. I do like that sting. It's very impressive. Orazio Fantasia will probably get to a club like Port Adelaide. I've been told 95% sure that he will request a trade. So, the issue that Essendon would be frustrated about is a little bit like what happened with Brisbane Lions and Dane Beams. A front-ended deal where he gets a significant portion of that in the first 2 years. All of a sudden, he's not paid as much and he goes and jumps ship to a club like Port Adelaide, and especially given that he hasn't been in great form the last couple of years. So I think it will happen. Port Adelaide has been desperate for a while, and you might say, well, what happens to Connor Rosie? What happens to...
Zach Butters.
What happens to Robbie Gray? But they think there'll be times where all three of Rosie, Fantasia and Gray will play in that forward line, and there'll be times where, eventually, Connor Rosie pushes up into a wing or half forward. It's got a lot to like about it, and maybe you might have to give up a Dougal Howard and maybe even a Sam Powell Pepper. That's okay. I love that deal from Port Adelaide's point of view.
Can I give you the names of the traded players into Port Adelaide over the last 4 to 5 years? And you tell me whether this is where elephants go to die in terms of traded players. Lysette was out of the team halfway through the year, so he's a free agent, a bit different. Burton, a bit different. Mays, have they improved? McKenzie, Trengrove, Rockcliffe, Watts, Motlop, Dixon, Tumpus, Paddy Ryder, the list continues. Homps, Monfrey's Need, Matty White. I mean, have those players improved at Port Adelaide over the last 4 to 5 years?
You can't stake your claim on Jimmy Tumpus, though. I mean, some of those players...
There's 15
players,
names, John.
I agree with
Choose
you.
Choose one of the other ones.
OK, I do agree with you. Yeah.
I just think I honestly think Essendon would be saying, all right, so if that's where you want to go, fine. Get us the pick we need and good luck.
So I agree with you, a lot of those blokes have not maximised their talent. But this bloke, at his best, is absolute elite talent. He can play a little bit on half forward, he can go deep to the goal square, he can isolate, he gives them a lot of flexibility. He's got a little bit of the class. Because a lot of those players there are grunt players or plotters.
Said the same thing about Stephen Motlop last year. Exact same thing at this stage.
He's
a better player than Steve Motlop.
Okay.
And it looks like he's going to Port Adelaide. We're going to talk about some more players. We've got your Moneyball column after this, and we've also got a little bit on Brandon Ellis and, of course, Brodie Grundy. Welcome back to Trading Day. Let's talk about your trading philosophies and, more specifically, your number one trading philosophy, Kingy.
Well, we've been bouncing this around upstairs a fair bit. Don't overinvest in pawns. Like players that play really marginal roles for your footy club, role players almost, if you like, and we'll get to a couple of those, I'm sure, over the next 7 to 10 days. But if you see something you like, overinvest, get that, overspend to get that. I've got no problem with that. The Lachie Neils type deal.
Hasn't Gold Coast been criticised exactly for that? Paying too much for players that probably aren't worth so much? Lachie Weller, pick two, is the best example.
Yeah, well... That's OK. If you like them, get them and then ride the tide from there. Yep. That's my thoughts, but don't overinvest in pawns.
I'm along the same lines as Kingy. I'd rather take Lachie Weller than take a risk on pick two. Take the known commodity. Take what you see. Someone that's played 2 or 3 years, you know what you're going to get. Everyone talks about the top 10 draft picks. There's only about a 40% strike rate of the first rounders becoming bona fide stars. So I'm all for trade out your first pick. take the known commodity, and you're going to be in a much better position than if you just take the risk for all these first-round picks. You might get a Marcus Bontempelli, or you might get a Daniel Gorringe. You don't know. Take what you know.
So that's the Hawthorn model, isn't it?
The Hawthorn model. Yeah. You know, give away your pick, get O'Meara, get Mitchell, get Wingard. Don't worry about drafting an 18-year-old. Get the 22-year-olds you've already seen and know.
My philosophy, and this is when it comes to reporting, this is a players' league, like the NBA these days. A lot of posturing about, we want to hold this bloke, you know, we want to maximise that deal, we want to trade him somewhere else. The players get where they want to go, whether it's Lachie Neal, whether it's Jesse Hogan, and it will be Tim Kelly this fortnight.
Brody Grundy, 7-year deal. Can he get it? Does he deserve it?
I think he absolutely deserves it. He's a massively durable player. Food for thought at Collingwood, though. He had his 70 hit-outs in that final. And I reckon up on their whiteboard there, they said, did he maximise them? Is it another signal that he's not worth $1 million, that he's not worth 7 years? I reckon they'll offer him 5 years with a couple of triggers, and they'll say, take it or leave it. I think they're prepared to lose this bloke because they're not giving him 7 years.
Gee, it's a bit of a changing landscape if that's the case. It's almost the NFL model. We see that it's all about me. I'll get the best deal for myself and we'll worry about the team next.
Yeah.
No, because in the past, Collingwood would go to Brody Grundy and say, Brody, we want to keep Jaden Stevenson. We want to keep Jordan DeGoey. We need to still pay Taylor and Adam Treloar, etc. You need to just pull back a bit. Come and meet us halfway so we can fit everyone into the cap. This seems to me to be a bit of a, no, I want to get the best deal for me.
I want to get paid.
I want my payday and you can worry about the mismanagement afterwards.
That's fair enough. I mean, it's a business now and these players, we cut them pretty quick too with the other side of things. So I think if he wants seven, and that's fine. If he thinks he can get that from somewhere else next year, well, good luck to him. Mm. And he probably will. I mean, most clubs would say, yeah, absolutely, let's sign for that. He'd get more money at every other club than what he's going to get to stay. So there is a business side of me that says credit.
So how impacted are they if he leaves? What sort of chasm?
He won't leave. It'll get done.
But it's not like he's asking for 1.5 or 1.8 million. He's just asking for career certainty. And surely the Pies can give him that.
7-year deal, though. I mean, you
but
don't
Buckley
want to start.
Might be coaching 7 years, and there might be a different club in 7 years.
Buckley. It's about the list build. You sign him to 7 years and a million. Then DeGoey comes out of contract. What do you do with him?
But in five years, Stevenson asked for 7 years.
I know what you're saying.
But in 5 years, if it's not working, you say, hey, Brody, do you think about going back to Adelaide now? And he might go back to Adelaide. These contracts are not rock solid.
No, but you've got to factor injury into this. You've got to get a return on the investment. It's a significant tie-up to your financial component of your salary cap for 7 years.
Grundy, Canelio got 7 years. Yep. Other players, this is not unprecedented.
Well, Tom Lynch got 7 years off a PCL reconstruction from the same management firm. And I reckon his management firm are going to say, this is a test for us. You keep saying to all these Collingwood players, take less, get longer contracts. But when we want to do exactly that, you reject us? I think you'd get $10 million over 7 years at Adelaide, especially if they fall out of the finals next year. I just think it's so risky. If this gets to November next year, I think he's out of there.
Yeah. Let's talk about Brandon Ellis, who's off to the Gold Coast Suns as a restricted free agent. $600,000 over 5 years has been the report in the Herald Sun. Is that overs, Joey, or fair money, fair length?
Oh, it's probably overs. Yeah, I don't necessarily think Brandon Ellis is the player the Gold Coast Suns need if they want to rebuild. Great for him. I think that's a great get. He can go up there and he's going to add some leadership and he's obviously come from a club that's got great culture. But in regards to his playing football, is he going to play on a wing? It's big money. It's a lot of money. We've already talked about salary cap issues at the Gold Coast Suns. Yeah, you're shaking
David,
your head.
David, is he one of those pawns you keep talking
Rule
about?
Rule one, don't overinvest in pawns. Love what he's been able to achieve at Richmond, been a great role player for them. But he's hardly swinging games. I mean, this is if you're going to spend that sort of money over that sort of length, it's got to be for a guy who shapes the course of your afternoon. And all credit to him. He's got a great deal done off the back of what he's been able to achieve at Richmond. But gee,
and he's a good story in himself. You know, lived on the bottom flat of a housing commission. He's already paying the rent for his parents. But look at the Richmond situation and how free agency is flawed. They get 8 years out of a pick 15. And given the money that he is on, because Gold Coast has to pay him so much, they might get pick 19. They might get an end of first round compensation pick back for this bloke after 8 years of service.
So I just don't understand how they can lose Jared Lyons last year and then end up in a similar situation and end up with Brandon Ellis.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
You're not the only one.
I don't get it.
Lee Montagna, and your Moneyball call is up now. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Tommy, for that one. Well, we spoke about Jared Lyons. This Moneyball call is all about Jared Lyons because what it is, it's a player that you can get for a bargain price.
Yep.
that could make a difference to your football club, a significant difference. Jared Lyons, perfect example, got him for nothing. Ricky Henderson, Hawthorn, got him for nothing. There are players in this draft free agency period who teams can get for nothing who could make a significant difference. One of them for me is Jack Nunes. Now, his last 2 years, he's fallen away at the Saints. Everybody can agree on that. But in 2016 and 17, he was averaging 23 disposals a game. He's an elite runner, elite endurance, elite speed, good user of the football. And he was up and about. I remember a day he had 35 touches and a goal against the Brisbane Lions in 2017. And I think some teams that are looking like a Melbourne, that are maybe looking at Ed Langdon, and they're going to have to give up pick 20. Adam Tomlinson, who they're going to pay massive money for. You can get someone like Jack Nunes, who just needs a fresh start. His talent hasn't gone anywhere. He's still got the ability. He just fell in a rut at St Kilda under Alan Richardson. Lost his spot in his sort of role in the team. So these are the guys, and we'll keep going through them as this week goes on, Tommy, that can make a difference to a club if you just look around and find the right type of player.
Do you agree, Kingy?
Yeah, they're out there. There's no doubt. I think Sam Gray's another one
we'll touch
on. But this specific winger role that you talk about, Melbourne's looking for them.
Fremantle, if they're going to lose Ed Langdon, Brad Hill, they need someone who's got elite run, some good use. Melbourne, Fremantle, some clubs like that could do worse than getting Jack Nunes. As a free agent, you're getting nothing. You're getting giving away nothing.
3 years, 300 grand, you get some security. Yep. You know, it's not too high risk.
Yep.
So he's been lowballed by St Kilda. That's the story, isn't it? Yep. So effectively they're saying, we'll keep you, but we don't really mind if you look elsewhere.
Well, they want the compensation pick, a bit like Brandon Ellis. They're happy to get another pick. They shoot, I mean, it might
bring
not...
in Brad Hill. Yeah. You've got Hanbury to play in the wing there. You know, that there's not really a spot there for him. Yeah.
This is where you win or lose your next 2 to 3 years, though. The last four selections at Richmond, absolutely fantastic in the off-season. The last six at Brisbane, that's why they're in contention at the moment.
All right, so just backing over what we've seen today, Tim Kelly's officially requested a trade to West Coast. The Joe Danaher stuff continues to bubble Ralphie. You'll be all over that. Josh Bruce and the Western Bulldogs. And I'm really interested to see what happens with Orazio Fantasia. You'll be all over that. Will we get an answer from Essendon tomorrow on Joe Danaher, do you think?
I don't know. And Fantasia hasn't got a manager, so it might be another week for him.
Awesome. Thank you, Ralphie. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Tommy. We'll see you tomorrow night on Trading Day.
This has been a Fox Sports production.